All right, Pomp and Joe show. On a Thursday, Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold in for the guys, having a great time. Thanks so much for finding us today and every day. Really happy with today's show. Dan Zangrilli was fantastic. Garrett Webster, earlier in the show, talking about his dad, Iron Mike. An appropriate topic, really, with the Steelers about to kick off their first practice of the year. 1:55 is the exact start time, and Jeff Hathorn will join us at 1:30 to talk a little bit more Steelers later in the show. Right now we're talking Pirates, though, and we're talking a little bit about the trade deadline. I put out a hypothetical, which maybe wasn't great timing. We did that in the middle of a giveaway for tickets to the Pony League World Series, which limits they are given away, correct?
They are given away, and the lines immediately lit up. People excited to go to the Pony League World Series. Hopefully they get some good crowds.
You've been there multiple times, right?
I worked it 2 years in a row, yes.
Yes. It's a
TV
good time.
Stage manager when I was in college. Very fun time.
Really
cool
good
ballpark.
Baseball, too, by the way.
Yes. Very good baseball. Good fundamental baseball for the most part. I mean, what you can expect from kids that are, what, 12, 13, 14, right in that range. Good
I don't
fundamental
know. I played
baseball
at that age. I don't know if I was a good fundamental baseball player.
Well, I mean,
also wasn't in the Pony League World Series.
These players in the Pony League World Series are pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. If you get a chance to go down there, it's a lot of fun. I covered that when I was at the Washington Observer Reporter.
Really?
Obviously, they pull out all the stops, and you're covering that constantly. So, yeah, I had a year at the OR and was covering the Pony League World Series. I might have been covering Dale Lawley's team. I don't know.
A possibility.
I don't know. It was a good time, though. All right, and I threw out a hypothetical before the last break. I was curious how people felt on it. If you had three choices, got to pick one. You get a new owner, but there's no other guarantees. Choice number two, you get a revamped economic system. Comes to the Capitol floor, but there's nothing else that changes. Same owner. And option three, same owner, same economic system, but you get a baseball operations department that's every bit as good as the Guardians and the Rays. Limits, what did you pick when we were kicking this around pre-show?
So it was a difficult decision for me, but what I ultimately decided on was a cap and a floor system and everything else remains the same. Partly because, look, you could change the owner, but there's no guarantee that whoever comes in is going to significantly change the philosophy of what is right now that relies on other things other than payroll spending. Everyone wants more payroll spending. There's no doubt about that. But I also think there are also some people that think, oh, well, if you bring in a new owner, will the team move? I don't think that is the case. Like, there are a couple of people, like, if Thomas Tall bought the Pirates, they're not going anywhere, and they're probably spending a large amount of money. But is that a realistic possibility right now?
Right. How much do you want to gamble?
Exactly. So I think a cap and a floor system would force the current owner to have to spend additional money to be able to put more resources on the field. So that is a... And I think it would limit the big market teams as well. Now, would it be 250? Would it be 240? A team like the Dodgers might have to shed payroll to be able to get under the salary cap. I think that that is just more of a realistic option and something that I think would probably work better just because of the unknown of who would come in here to replace the owner to begin with.
Yeah, and so you make a lot of really good points, and I agree with them. Here's my thinking on that. My initial reaction was a new owner. It's easy, right? People
yeah.
dislike Bob Nutting. There hasn't been a lot of winning. A new owner would change all that. And I may still think that way. I'm not sure. But I have come over a little bit more to the side of limits thinking and that a cap and a floor would be such a game changer for baseball. And it is a crapshoot. You might say, look, we want new ownership. But look over at the Penguins. Newer isn't always better. You know, there was an expectation when FSG came in here that things would be run a certain way.
Well,
I would venture to say they have not met expectations.
I'll say this, Jason. Look at the Cincinnati Bengals. They are considered with an ownership group that right now will not pay Trey Hendrickson. Sure, they paid Burrow and they paid Chase. They will not pay Hendrickson, and they don't want to give certain guarantees to their first-round draft pick, and they're making a big deal out of it.
I know. I know.
But... that's a cap system. It's a cap league. You can pay and keep Joe Burrow. You can pay and keep Ja'Marr Chase. And there's still a viable organization where small market Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
We're also scheming the system with a little bit here, Limits, and I like it. Because if you put a cap and a floor system in the floor isn't at a place that Nutting feels comfortable with, maybe you get both. You know, and if you are in a cap and a floor system, hopefully the parameters are set as such that, yeah, the Pirates have to spend this amount. You're going to limit the team on the top end. And it's a competitive thing.
The
revamped revenue sharing gives the Pirates enough money to satiate what Nutting is looking for in this arrangement, and everybody wins.
That is fascinating, where the owner would basically say, hey, I'm not getting enough bang for my buck with this ownership stake from a business side of it, and just ultimately decide to get out of town, you're saying.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying that if he was forced to spend to a floor, would he dislike that enough to say, nah, I'm going to go do something else? I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. But it would certainly test his desire to run a team the way they are. And I do understand some of what the Pirates are doing. Obviously, I disagree with a lot of it. I don't know how you can't. And I think a little bit about the third option, too, because it does make sense for them. If you're telling me that the Pirates can get the smartest people in the room, not the people who think they're the smartest people in the room, but who are actually the smartest people in the room, you can win. The Guardians can win because they're smart. The Rays can win because they're smart. It's not going to make me go against the cap and a floor system in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's just such a game changer. And we could talk about that all day. It's so important. But I don't know about anybody. I don't feel that happening. My optimism for that sneaking through is not high. Now, the Pirates can be steadfast in having a better baseball operations department. We got into that a little bit with Dan Zangrilli about Charrington and moves he's made and maybe frustration that exists or whatever, and how much you're going to be willing to tolerate, how much he's allowed to do. I don't think any of us really know. We have some signs, stuff that's out there. But I just go back into that hypothetical about a cap and a floor in the owner and what that means for one or the other. And it would scare me if they do decide to sell and then you don't know who's buying you. That being said, I think Thomas Tull is a very likely competitor. Either way, if you want to weigh in on, let me know. If you don't, we have plenty of other stuff to talk about. Trade deadline. O'Neill Cruz. The Noah Hyles report yesterday. I don't doubt that they're getting a lot of interest. If they traded O'Neill Cruz, there are so many teams out there who could believe that they're capable of fixing O'Neill Cruz. And they'd be right. They'd be right. That's the exact same reason that if I'm the Pirates, there's no way I'm letting him go. No way. And the Pirates also have to fix what they're doing offensively for 2026. This isn't a rebuild. That's why you're not seeing them make an in-season change with a general manager. And it's not right, not like it, but they're viewing it as kind of a nuanced, difficult hire to make. Somebody who's not going to be allowed to rebuild, who's probably going to have to take Donnie Kelly as a manager, and they want somebody who's on board with that plan. So why then, if that's what you're doing, why does it make sense to trade Mitch Keller if you're going to orient things toward 2026? If you're going to hamstring the new GM in so many ways, at least give him that. At least give him that option. And that doesn't mean you automatically have to trade Mitch Keller. There's an argument for keeping Mitch Keller. It's their second best starter by a mile. You're going to lose Andrew Heaney. I'd like to think that we're going to see some young guys come up here. It's never a for sure thing. At minimum, though, I'm making the move in December. I'm not making the move right now. I'm not letting this general manager do anything more than is required of me. And that's Heaney. It's Kiner Falefa. It's Ferguson. Pham. Absolutely not on Reynolds. Absolutely not on Keller. Bednar, Santana. Ke'Bryan Hayes is probably a conversation. And it would be one that I'd probably be looking to end in trading Hayes. I just don't want to do anything stupid. I'm not taking back money. I'd maybe like some sort of return. And I think a lot of that's possible. I do. It's an interesting time for the Pirates, though. It really is. They are clearly sellers. There aren't a bunch of clear sellers. Maybe somebody comes along with a crazy offer. I don't know.